If you ask people what's going on this week, what would most people say? A lot of them would probably talk about Black Friday, all the sales that are going on, all the things that are advertised to buy. They might be talking about some big football game that's going on. They might be talking about going hunting. This week is a short school week at a lot of places. Some people are going on trips. What should we be thinking about? In the scripture reading that Brother Code read, there are a lot of things that are mentioned there. Things that we are to put on, bearing with one another. In verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. And look at that last phrase, and be thankful, and be thankful. Thanksgiving is this week. And if you ask a lot of people what Thanksgiving is, even with that, you'd get a lot of different answers. It means one thing to me. You ask a younger person and it's going to mean something completely different. And just looking at it from a national holiday standpoint, you know, the schools, a lot of them have stopped teaching factual American history. A lot of the books have been rewritten. And when you ask a young person, who did the pilgrims give thanks to on Thanksgiving? A lot of them don't know. Some of them will say they gave thanks to each other. And I want us to think about Thanksgiving, not as the national holiday, but as Christians. And are we thankful? You know, a man is no more than what he will put in his mind. We will not say anything that is not in our mind. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Friends, does thanksgiving, does thankfulness come out of our mouth? It will if it's in our heart. And how do we get things in our heart or our mind? It's by a man's ability of the senses of his body. We hear, we see, we touch, we taste, we smell. That's how things get into our mind, into our heart. And whatever is in our heart is all that we will ever be. We will not be more or any different than what is in our heart. And we must develop a heart of thanksgiving. One of the things we need to realize about this too, again, whatever's in our mind and whatever truth is in our mind, we've got to understand, and we'll look at this a little more tonight, truth is not something that is within us. Truth is outside of us. Truth is outside. Truth is God's word, because a lot of people get into I think, I feel, but we're like a little baby in some ways, where we're a clean slate. And whatever we put in our mind, whatever we think about, whatever we do, whatever we act on, that's what we are going to become. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, and be thankful, and be thankful. That should reign in our heart, that it would produce things in line with having a good mind. And be thankful. As Christians, we should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth, because we have so much to be thankful for. And nobody can rob us of those spiritual blessings that we have. You think about, again, going back to all the shopping that's going to take place at the end of this week. You can go out and buy a truckload of stuff, bring it home, put it in your garage. You go to work the next day, somebody comes in, they can steal it all. Where's your happiness going to be? Where's your thankfulness going to be? You know, somebody can take our body, they can destroy it, they can kill it, they can burn it, they can mutilate it, but they cannot destroy the spirit that is within us. They cannot destroy our soul. And we need to have a spirit of thankfulness. Why should we be thankful? Well, one of the reasons is because of the source of our blessings. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If we are children of God, we have a Father who cares for us and provides for us and wants to bless us in every way that is important to us. And we should be thankful of that. He's the Father of every good gift. And with that being so, we ought to be thankful. And notice when we talk about the word thanksgiving, there are three things involved with that. There is a giver, there is a receiver, and there is something that is given. And there is value placed on that gift that is given. A lot of times that value will relate to the person who gave it to you. You might have a relative that gives you, that has nothing, and they give you something that was theirs, some possession, and it means so much to you, not because of the value of that item, but because of the relationship that you have with that person. You think about somebody might give you, they might have an abundance of things and give you something, and it means nothing. It means nothing. So some of this thanksgiving is related to the giver, and some is related to the gift. Some people might give you a gift, and you think, oh, they must have wanted to get rid of this from their house, you know. Why? They didn't like it. You think, I'm going to like it. There's all kinds of reasons for giving things. But then sometimes, too, you think about something, again, that is so precious. You know somebody valued something so much, it was so dear to them. And you think about God and what was so dear to God. It was His Son. His Son. He gave His Son to die for our sins. God gave His Son to shed His precious blood for sins that we have committed. And friends, in this society that we live in, we get so caught up, I say it just about every time, in the rat race, running and going here and going there. And do we stop and slow down to give thanks to God and be thankful for Christ and be thankful in Christ? And thankfulness is a state of mind. It's not something that, like a shirt, you put it on and you take it off. Again, it's taking that clean slate, that mind, and putting into it a mind of thankfulness. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And I want us to notice what happens when we are not thankful. When we are not thankful. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So notice before we read on, they were not thankful to God, even though they knew God. So notice what is going to follow, because unfaithfulness is a sign of wickedness and evil. So verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And in chapter 1 and verse 30, notice that disobedience to parents in the same category as unthankfulness, backbiters, haters of God, violent, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. This is an ugly list of sins, an ugly list. And why did God allow them to commit these? They knew God, but they did not thank God. They were not thankful to God. So God turned them over to their own desires. And when they did not thank God and God turned them over to their own desires, what was the end result? It was destruction. Sin will always destroy us. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And we'll start reading at verse 9. Also, he spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we have this Pharisee, this religious man that was praying, and he says, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Was this heartfelt thankfulness? Was this the right kind of thankfulness? This Pharisee was just an arrogant, self-righteous person. He was thanking God that he was better than someone else. But in this account, he says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So again, thankfulness is a state of mind, and it's got to be sincere. We turn back to Luke chapter 17, and beginning at verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their eyes and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here we have the account of where 10 lepers were healed. Leprosy, the worst disease at that time. What was going to happen if you had leprosy? You would end up dying. Your body would just rot and fall apart. And Jesus healed 10 of them. How many were thankful? Just one. Just one. And we say, well, that those people didn't have the right attitude. You know, you should be thankful the rest of your life to that person that healed you from that dreaded disease. But friends, how thankful are we? Are we thankful every day for the rest of our lives that Christ has healed us from that dreadful disease of sin? He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He's taken it away. He's made it where we can live forever. And we should be thankful. One of the other things, just thinking along the lines of thankfulness, again, we don't see it. We don't see it manifested in the world much. And again, whatever's in the world, good or bad, is going to work its way into the church. And we, all of us, especially as Christians, just need to get in the habit of saying thank you more often. Thank you. You know, it's not, our face isn't going to freeze and break and fall apart if we say thank you to somebody. A lot of people just don't like to say it. Some people don't say a thing, some grunt, you know. And I don't understand when you say thank you to people, to younger people, and instead of saying you're welcome, they say no problem. I'm thinking, what problem are we talking about? I'm just being thankful. We should be thankful. Well, what should we be thankful for? Well, we should look to our past and we should look to our future. We should always have a mind of thankfulness. We should look forward to the promises of God. One day, He's going to deliver us out of this world of pain and suffering and sin. So we should be thankful to Him. We should be thankful to Him for that promise. We should be thankful that we can be set free and be with our Lord forevermore. We should be thankful. We should be thankful looking forward to that in the future. And we should be thankful to the Lord for everything that is in the past. You know, I get down sometimes and wonder and worry, and you know, I just remind myself, one of the things I remind myself is, you know, right now I'm 61 years old. God has been with me every day. God has gotten me through every day, 365 days times 61 years since I was born. Why should I worry about today? Why should I worry about tomorrow? I should be thankful in those good times and in those bad times. Those bad times. Has anybody else here gone through bad times? We should be thankful because God has gotten us through those bad times. We should be thankful for the powers that be. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he goes on and he specifies who all these men, giving of thanks for all men. He goes on, he breaks that down. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So we should pray for our rulers. We should be thankful. We should be thankful that we have the freedoms that we do, that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It raises the question, how many people are praying for that? You see, the way the world is going, we may lose some of these freedoms that we enjoy right now. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." But here he tells us we should give thanks for all men, all men. We should be thankful for the necessities of life. You say, well, everybody's entitled to the necessities of life, but not everybody has them. Not everybody has the things that we enjoy. You know, looking out over the audience, everybody here can see, everybody can hear. And as we get older, our senses may be waning. All of us have our arms, our legs, our feet. There are a lot of people that don't enjoy that. Do we stop and take the time to be thankful? Do we have a mind of thankfulness? Do we have a heart of thankfulness? You know, we can see, we can hear, we can walk, we can talk. Are we thankful for that, or do we just take it for granted? You know, we need to give God thanks always, even for the things that we take for granted. Because, you know, God, if we don't give Him thanks, He might take some of those things away from us. And have you ever, for a child, bought a gift, and maybe they really wanted it, and then they lost interest in it, they didn't care about it, and you had a conversation with them, you know, look at what I did to get this for you. If you don't want it, I'll just give it to somebody else. They don't like that. They don't like that. Even though they don't appreciate it, they don't want it taken away. And we're the same way too. But a parent could take that gift away from a child, say a brother and a sister, take it away from one and give it to the other. If you don't appreciate this, I'm going to give it to your brother. Maybe he'll appreciate it. We need to appreciate everything. And we need to realize that everything that we have comes from God. The weather we have today, did we make that up? No, it came from God. Our jobs, our family, our spouses, all comes from God. What if we start, instead of being thankful, complain about those things? What if we complain about those things? Just think about that father and the children and that present where he takes it from one and gives it to another because they are ungrateful. What if you complain about your job? Well, God is our Heavenly Father. He may be listening and saying, okay, I'll take that job away from you. You didn't appreciate it. I'll take it away from you. Or a spouse or a child. You have a child that you aren't thankful for. If someone had a child they were unthankful for and that child died, God took that child, if you want to use that term. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. We should be thankful. We should be thankful for everything that God has given us. If God took away the things from us that we do not show our appreciation to Him for giving us, what would we have? You just stop and think about that. And I have to ask myself that. Of all the things that I have, do I thank God for all of those, or do I thank Him for just a couple? Are you thankful for your home, for your spouse, for your health, for your children? And again, as we get older and our health declines, we still have health. We are all sitting here worshiping God today. And one day we keep doing this, one day we'll get rid of this fleshly body, and God will clothe us with an incorruptible body where we can live forever. Are you thankful for your friends? Are you thankful for your neighbors? Are you thankful for the brethren? is there a close bond between you and other Christians? There ought to be. There ought to be, and we should be thankful. We ought to love one another. We think about our loved ones as they get older and we know they are going to die. Do we thank them for all that they have done for us over the years? You know, if you haven't learned that lesson, you want to learn it before it's too late. You may have a parent that's still alive, or a neighbor, a dear friend. You want to thank them for what they have done and what they have been, and for the friendship in your life. We should give thanks to God for our friends. Where did we get our friends? Again, we get everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, beginning at verse 3. Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with affection of Jesus Christ. Paul always thanked in his prayers. He was thankful for the other saints. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. And he goes on and mentions again more things, further fellowships, for the work that they do in the Lord. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Here Paul is in prison. He's in chains. And what's his attitude? What's in his mind? What does he have a heart of? He has a heart of thankfulness. And he's thankful for his brethren. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Friends, we need to be thankful to God. He has blessed us with so much. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are we thankful for that? He has redeemed us. He's redeemed us through his blood. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. He's given us grace. Friends, none of us deserve heaven. We deserve hell. It's by God's grace and mercy that we have the opportunity to enter into the presence of God. And we should be thankful. God has blessed us all. He smiled on us all. We should be thankful that we've been taught the truth. We should be thankful for Christian relatives and friends. What a great blessing. We should be thankful for the ones that taught us the truth. If someone hadn't taught us, we would be lost. And that is why it is so important that we should teach others. We should be thankful for prayers that are answered. We should be thankful for the way God answers prayers. We might expect Him to answer it one way, but He expects it another way. We should be thankful that He answers it as Thy will be done. And we should be thankful for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that went to the cross for us, for our sins. He died for our sins. But friends, if we don't do anything about that, His death is in vain. That should be a great motivator that we have in our thankfulness every day. That sacrifice that He made for us, to live for Him. Not to be thankful just for a few minutes one day out of the year, but to be thankful every day of every year while God allows us to live here. And again, friends, if you aren't in the family of God, what do you have to be thankful for? You can be thankful that God sent a son, but until you take advantage of that, until you appropriate that blood, you're without hope. And that's a scary thought. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that has sin in their life, they need to make correction, they're outside of Christ, they want to get in Christ, be baptized into Him, if we can assist you in any way in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.